With holiday chaos around every corner, the minute you step into your BMW, you're in control. The BMW X3's adventure-ready agility is built for wherever the holidays take you. The effortless power of the X5 makes it easy to take on the season, and the iconic 3 Series is an exhilarating escape. The BMW Road Home sales event on now. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through November 30th.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Oh boy, is that a slingshot?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, we here. Slingshot season. Hey, run that. Grace hit me like boom, can't miss. God with me, whole squad gon' win. Never try to throw shade, I grin. Cause the light too bright where I've been. Walk in the spotlight, who's that? Stone in the sling and the true slack. Devil in the way we move that. Tryna aim for the head like a durag. We're stuck in the valley, that view bad. Now I'm up in the hills where the fruit at. God took all my L's, ran through that. Now the wind stack high like a new stack. Giants fall, we don't run. Whole team moving one. Aim set, kingdom come. Hands high, what's up, son? Giants fall, we don't run. Whole team moving one. Aim set, kingdom come. Hands high, what's up, son? Grace hit me like boom, can't miss. God with me, whole squad gon' win. Devil try to throw shade, I grin. Cause the light too bright where I've been. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, Slingshot Nation. We don't back up. We don't break down, just line it up, pull back, let it go, yeah, run it up.
Welcome, 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 welcome. Welcome to a live Slingshot Nation, friends. We are here and we are recording and live and all that stuff. Thanks for joining me here today on this random live. I started the lives, I would say, better part of a year ago, and consistency has always been the hardest thing on doing these lives on YouTube, but we're going to give it another crack. What do you say? About a year ago, I think it's been maybe even 2 years now. I don't remember. We tried starting the Wednesday morning wake-up shows, and that was a lot of fun. And basically, Wednesday morning, I found out was the worst time for me to do lives when it came to school year, taking my kids to school and stuff. So by the time I was ready to go, it was no longer a wake-up Wednesday morning. It was more like a Wednesday afternoon scramble before you got to pick up the kids kind of thing. So it didn't last the way I wanted it to. But earlier this year, we were hitting the ground running pretty well. And I thought things were going well. And then, life took a turn. And, many of you know my wife got sick. And so that kind of took over everything for months. And we had to do a lot of readjustments. And here we are. I think life is... Now, that'd be a lie. Life is not settling down for me at all. It's more hectic than ever. But I'm finding a weird balance in the chaos. Does that ring true for any of you?
Let me know in the chat if you can identify with that.
It's one of those things where I guess you know, I'll use this example, I suppose. When I was driving truck and doing the podcast at the same time, I mean, podcast was literally like full-time job effort, right? And then I also had 12 to 14 hours a day of driving a truck. You get used to that life of chaos where it's just nonstop, go, go, go. And you don't even realize you're tired, right? You just don't realize until something changes and, you know, you stop driving truck and you realize how tired you are. And you're like, I mean, I took more off my plate, but you just spent years of beating yourself down. I feel like that's a similar thing here with the schedule. It's just you become so numb to it. You don't even realize how crazy busy it is. You're like, yeah, I can bring more on my plate. Why not? Let's do some lives and start that up again. So bear with me. I am a bit rusty, and also bear with me if I don't show up again next week, but I'm planning on it. We're trying to find the right days though. Is the right day Monday or Thursday? That's what we're thinking right now. Monday or Thursday. And I'm thinking Thursday because naturally Thursdays are the day that I'm sitting here thinking, ah, I could go live. Mondays usually scrambling around, getting things done that you didn't get done during the weekend and all that jazz, gearing up for the Tuesday show. So Thursdays might be the day that we go live. So I don't know if any of you guys have been kind of plugged into the future of really everything, technology, quote unquote, scientific advancements, or even currencies. I mean, it's been pretty wild times that we're living in. You know, I don't know if I've ever shared this story with you, but many people that are, you know, maybe listening to this show, familiar with me or, you know, whatnot, might think similarly as I do. And, you know, many people might be into, you know, something called cryptocurrencies. And I was a little late to the game with the crypto stuff. But when it first started happening, the whole Bitcoin launch, I think it was in 2008 or something, I was young. If it was 2008, I was a year married. Okay. I know I was married because of how the story goes. But this whole crypto Bitcoin thing happened, and I didn't totally understand what it was. I just knew that people were saying this was going to be super valuable, get in on the bottom and all that stuff. And I was like, oh boy, I need to get in on this. And so I talked to my wife. I went home to my, I think we had a 700 square foot apartment, and our kitchen was in the hallway. And I said to my wife, I said, I want to invest in this thing called Bitcoin. And I told her probably a half baked understanding of what it was. I still don't understand totally what it is and what a blockchain is. But she said no. I said, oh, let me just get $100. Let me just put $100 down on this. And she said no. And as a good husband, I respected my wife's wishes. And I said, okay, I will not buy any Bitcoin and put it in this wallet that I can't hold, or can I hold it? I'm not sure. And that same week, I'll never forget, the same week, my cousin came down to my apartment with visiting, and I guess I wanted to flex how much of a man I am of my own household. And so instead of buying Bitcoin that week, I decided to go down to the Kmart with my cousin and buy a PS3. And I bought a PlayStation for like $300 without asking my wife. I honored her wishes. I did not buy Bitcoin, so she can't be mad at me for that. I show up at the apartment and I have this PlayStation. We plug it in and play some stupid game. She comes home. And I show her with pride on my face of what I was able to accomplish. And she wasn't too happy. I said, buddy, you got to go home, man. you know, ain't nobody want to see this. And so that was my introduction to Bitcoin in 1 week. But here's the thing. I was so not ready for something like that. You know, if you don't know, Bitcoin is right now, it's over $100,000. And so, you know, people are, I would say, making out very well if they held their Bitcoin throughout these years. And I don't think I would have been that person though. You know, if I'm buying a PlayStation for $300 when I didn't have $100 for Bitcoin, more than likely I would have bought it at what, 10 cents a coin or whatever it was. And once it hit $1, $2, I would have been like, oh, I'm rich. I'm cashing out, you know? But right now it's worth over $100,000 a coin. And, you know, you look back on it and you say, oh, I wish I could have, would have, should have kind of thing. But the reality is things happen for a reason. I don't know what that reason is. but, you know, I got into crypto, I'd say probably about a year ago or something. I started dabbling with it and, you know, trying to diversify my income in the future of currency and finances. Because I do believe that that is where we are going. Whether we like it or not, that is where we're going. And now my algorithm is just completely trained for my behavior. And I go on Instagram for almost everything. I barely touch X. I don't touch Facebook. You know, it's just, I go on my personal Instagram and that's where I dabble. And that algorithm just knows me. It shows me NBA basketball, specifically the 76ers, shows me dystopian type content, and it shows me cryptocurrency. That's what it shows me. I barely see anybody that I follow, which, you know, is the way social media has changed. It's no longer social media. It's interest media. It's interest-based media. They don't really push your friends that you follow as much as what your interests are. It's about all about the algorithm. And my algorithm constantly shows me XRP and Bitcoin. And if I'm speaking Chinese to you, I apologize, but XRP is a digital currency that a lot of people are high on. I quite enjoy it. And there are people who will say things like XRP to the moon. It's going to, this time next year, XRP could be $10,000 a coin. Now, this is not financial advice, friends, just so I have to be clear. But my Lord, does the algorithm know I'm a sucker for a good headline? You know, because XRP now I think is like $2 and last I checked was like 30 cents or something like that, a coin. And so you start doing the numbers and every time I see a post on social media about XRP going to the moon, XRP $58,673.02 by March 27th, 2029. I'm like, oh, that's it. That's the ticket. That's the timeline. And I go and I pull my phone out. The first thing I do is I pull out the calculator. I start calculating how much would I be worth if this happened, you know? And I'm just a sucker for this stuff. And, you know, more than likely, XRP is going to be worth $5 30 years from now. And I'll just still be holding it. I'll still just be holding on to my XRP saying one day I'll be able to leave my kids something substantial. what about you guys? Do you guys touch the crypto? It's an interesting thing. I don't really totally understand the blockchain idea, to be honest with you. They've been talking about it for years. I've had people try explaining it to me. I don't quite understand it. But I do understand that it has everything to do with everything. The blockchain, things are going to be sold on the blockchain. Life is going to exist on the blockchain, from what I understand. It's just an interesting time we're living in. You know, I've been going through. If you've been listening to the show for any amount of time recently, let's just say the last year and a half, 2 years, you've definitely seen and heard transitions in the show, The Confessionals. The show has gone through its own stages throughout the years. You know, it just, the chapters have changed and pages have turned. And I think that's because it's host driven, you know, like I'm a human being and as my perspectives and thoughts change, so does the show ebbs and flows with that. And one thing that we just we just always come back to, no matter where the show's at, is, in my mind, the cryptids being, I should say, when I first started the show, I was much less of this opinion, only because I didn't know how to express what my gut was telling me. If you look back at the beginning of the show, first episode, we talked to a farmer who had two Sasquatch encounters. The second episode was an up-close UFO encounter. The third episode was my wife sitting in our third bedroom of our house telling me her Hatman stuff. Fourth episode was about the Nephilim. I had a professor come to my house and talk to me about the Nephilim. So I've been on this for a while, right? But I didn't know how to connect dots, and I still don't. I don't want to say I have it all figured out. I don't. But I didn't know how to even express in my gut how I felt about this cryptid stuff. I express it now in a much more supernatural way. But even back then, I had this feeling that there was something supernaturally driven about these cryptids. And I guess the big hang up, and maybe still the hang up for so many people, is the fact that it can be, and most often is, such a physical experience. How can that be a supernatural thing? And it's not until you start really, I guess, being engulfed in it for so long that you start thinking about, you know, the physical attributes and aspects of the supernatural, how it manifests, even in the scriptures and biblically speaking. Like, you do see physical manifestations of the supernatural, God physically manifesting in different ways. The Israelites followed a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Those are physical manifestations of the supernatural. And if you look at the negative side of it, you know, the fallen angels were physical manifestations. Many times people will talk about having a physical manifestation of an angelic being in their homes, in their rooms. And, you know, there is a physical aspect to the supernatural. And I guess it just took me a while to start understanding that maybe these cryptids are not just a little supernatural, they're severely supernatural. And I just had a friend of mine in studio here. Today's member episode. My friend Brian, local guy, came in. He's a local monster hunter. That's why I like calling him Monster Hunter. Monster Hunter Brian, welcome to the show. I love Brian because, though he and I don't necessarily see eye to eye on everything as far as philosophies go with this stuff, how to operate within the topics, and, you know, how to even conduct research. You know, there's plenty of things that Brian does that don't make me feel the most comfortable. I wouldn't do it myself. I love Brian's methodology when it comes to his thoroughness and his willingness to consistently go out to areas and investigate. And he does a lot of his stuff during the day for many reasons. And no, it's not because he's scared to be in the woods at night. I've been in the woods with him at night. And not one time did I think Brian was terrified of being there. Brian goes out during the day because you can see more, you can accomplish more, and video can capture more. It is fun to go out at night. It's, you know, theoretical, but, you know, these creepy crawly things might come out at night more. If you have the proper, you know, cameras, night vision, thermals, that might behoove you to capture something at night. But he goes out by himself most of the time, and he goes during the day. And there are times that he has experiences that you say to yourself, boy, oh boy, am I glad Brian went out during the day. You know, you're going to hear me talk next week. We have Stacy Brown coming on the show. He came up from Florida We're releasing a documentary on a docuseries on MerkleFilms.com that Stacy produced called Bigfoot, The Journey to Belief. And him and I had a fantastic, it was honestly one of the best cryptid conversations I think I've ever had in studio. It was so, so fun. I think we did about 2.5-3 hours. And the only reason why we stopped is because we had to get to the airport. We could have gone for 4 hours. It was riveting. And he goes, I have no idea why I brought him up. Why'd I bring Stacy Brown into this equation? I don't remember. Let's get back on Brian. I have no idea how I got there. But we're going out during the day and stuff. Brian is going out during the day. And he captures some pretty interesting things on camera. We talk about it on today's show for the members, but I'll tell you guys, that's why I brought it up, because you'll hear me talk next week about the area that this happened for Brian in. So next week, you're going to hear me talk about an area that recently has been pulled back from us to be able to go into as readily and easily available. There is ways to get there still, but it is now, parts of it at least, government federal property and listed as such, which is very suspicious because of the activity that we get back there. I've had activity, Scott Carpenter has, Brian has, and you'll hear me talk about that next week on Tuesday's show. But Brian's back there and he starts hearing, and I know I must have talked about this before with you guys, the predator clicking sound that I've heard in certain areas here in East Tennessee. Justin from Cryptids of the Corn podcast has tried to help me identify the biological creature that is making the clicking sound. And he has sent me dozens of sounds to listen to. And I have never been able to match the sound that I heard out there several times. And Brian has heard it as well. And so have other people. Brian, I think, caught it on audio. But while he's out there and he is recording this and he's exploring, he has lots of game trail cams out there. He starts seeing something in the trees, not up in the trees, but in the tree line. And he's on a motorcycle. And I don't know exactly how the whole scene unfolds. At least I don't remember how he described it. But he winds up like running. Like he felt like his life was at stake. He felt there was a sense of fear. And so he took off. And I just said fear, thinking, oh, I just said he wasn't afraid. Maybe his sense of safety was at stake. And you see this captured on video. At one point he says that he saw multiple things. He doesn't want to say creatures or entities, they're things, but they were black and he couldn't make out details and they are in the tree line. And he puts his camera in his pocket and he takes off. You hear him on the motorcycle, and he just goes. And he's out there in the woods on a motorcycle, not an electric bike, like a legit motorcycle. And at one point he stops and he takes his camera out and he shoots behind him and you see a black shadowy thing standing on two legs on the trail. And like, it's wild. I mean, we're sitting in here and he pulled it up on, Jack pulled it up on the screens for us to look at it in the studio. And it was like, you hear people talk about entities that when they appear, they're blacker than black. Like if it was a black room, you'd still be able to see the entity because the black of the entity is blacker than the room of darkness. That's kind of like what it looked like on camera. It was daytime and it was just a pure black silhouette standing on the trail, and it looked like just one. He said he saw multiple at one given point. But then he brightened, he took a screenshot of it and brightened the image and So now it looks like it, because it was dusk out. It was dusk out. So like it was getting dark when he shot this. And you could see the black silhouette and the shadows around it and all that stuff. But then when he brightened the picture is when it pops. And it's crazy because when he brightened the picture, it looks like daylight now because he brightened it. But the shadowy silhouette still stayed black. It was completely black. There's no, you couldn't see any definition, nothing. It was just absolutely wild. Anyways, we talk about that on today's show. And, you know, it gets me, I've been really thinking a lot about different tactics when it comes to how to handle this stuff. And the more I lean into and come to understand and truly in my heart and in my gut believe that this cryptid phenomenon, most of it, not all of it, I don't want to say all of it, because I do think that you can go down the dinosaur route. You know, technically a dinosaur today would be a cryptid, and I think it'd be probably pretty physical. Maybe, unless you subscribe to the dinosaurs being offspring of the Nephilim, then it'd be supernatural. So anyways, I just subscribe mostly to the idea that the cryptids are supernatural in nature. And if they're supernatural in nature, then I feel like, though I don't think you'll ever catch me out in the woods without a gun, because there's a lot of other things out there too. We have Black Panthers out here and Dogman, Bigfoot. Those are supernatural. But you got the Red Wolf and the cougars and bear and all that stuff. I just feel like the weaponry to deal with this is evolving and changing in my mind. And I don't have a clear picture totally as to what that entails. I'm talking to some very highly respected people that I've had on the show before, and brainstorming on how to go about this new chapter of investigation. But I think the investigations are going to be turning more in a supernaturally driven direction. Like I said, I'll always have a gun on me. And if I see a Bigfoot or a dog man, I'm pulling the trigger and seeing what happens. But I think that there's a better weapon to be using. And I think when you're dealing with territorial entities, when you're talking about principalities and breaking those strongholds in the spiritual, a gun's not going to do it. And so I think it takes strong faith and understanding the ultimate power and authority that you carry in Jesus Christ. And that comes with you, in you, constantly. And so as things unfold and develop, I just noticed, I'm looking at my monitor here, and I just saw that I'm glitching a little bit. That's interesting. We'll have to take a look at that. Maybe the computer needs to be cleaned off. I don't know, because I just got this new one and it's supposed to fix everything. Oh, well. Anyways, I'm back. As we continue to be out there and evolve our practices, I can envision our fight against the spiritual warfare, the battle that we are all in, that evolves as we're out there and we get stronger in our faith and we understand our faith and our place in this realm and the cosmos and how this is all unfolding around us. The more we are getting secure in our salvation, the more we're going to understand how to really attack this. And I think, you know, like I'm walking you up to the water, right? But there are ways to go about things, and I don't have the methodology totally hammered out yet. We have done certain things, liturgies and things like that out in the woods. You have not, I don't think you guys see me, you know, pray and stuff out in the woods, but, we have done liturgies and that I don't think has been released yet, but, I just feel like there is, if you're talking about You're talking about breaking principalities' strongholds over geographical areas. That takes some special weaponry. And praise God that he's given us the ability to understand where our authority and our power comes from. And the cryptid scene is changing, I suppose, at least my take on it. You know, I understand there's always going to be people who are, Bigfoot is a relic hominid or your friendly forest giant. Darn it, there was something that me and my manager, Derek, were talking about when it comes to, that's gone. It kind of gave a new take on the whole idea of Bigfoot being a friendly forest giant. I just don't remember exactly what we were talking about. So Derek, if you happen to be listening right now and you know what I'm talking about, feel free to come in here and let me know. But anyways, the cryptid scene is definitely changing in my mind. It's getting more in depth and more pulling in a spiritual, supernatural way. I kind of want to do Bible studies in the woods. I kind of want to just go out in the woods. All right, listen, I know this sounds weird, right? But let me just say this here. I kind of want to go out in the woods at night with me and the canon, 66 books, not the canon of the pew pew canon, but the canon of the flippity page canon. And I kind of just want to do devotionals for an entire night out in the woods in a stronghold area. I just kind of want to read scripture out loud, pray out loud, do Bible study out loud, and like seek understanding my maker in more depth out loud in front of a supernatural audience, good and bad combined. You know, in Daniel 10, we see how, and I know I've referenced this before, but it's just a great depiction that the spiritual warfare didn't even actually start until Daniel started praying. That is when the angel said that I was held up by the spirit prince of Persia from being able to get to you to answer your prayer. It wasn't until he started praying that interaction happened. So what happens if you go out into an area that has a stronghold and you just seek God in the middle of that intentionally? What does that do around you? And you best believe I'll have a audio recorder going and probably cameras all around me just in case something bonkers happens. I try to catch stuff on video as much as I can. It's hard though. It's a lot harder than I thought it'd be. I got, what is this? Live here on the show. What is this? I don't know. Okay. Some local thing was calling me and now Siri's trying to talk to me on my watch. My Lord, back on track. So there's cryptid stuff, but let's switch it up a little bit and talk about some, AI stuff. What do you say? You guys know I have an affinity for talking about AI. I don't think that will ever change because it's not boring to me. It's just, it's never ending, never changing. And the more you talk about the supernatural aspects of cryptids, how does that play into AI and even robotics? Oh, my Lord. Let me pull this up here. Now, I'm going to pull up the chat. You know, I have a feeling you're not going to be able to watch. Oh, bummer. All right. I'm going to pull this up. You guys, your job is to let me know if you can hear this, okay? So let me pull up the, let me just pull the screen over here. What is going on here? My monitor for this broadcast is acting funky. There we go. I'm gonna hit play. And if you guys can't hear this, just let me know and I'll do my best to describe everything for you. You guys can't hear it. I just saw a no. That's unreal. Unreal. We got to figure this out. This person said, yes, actually, no. And this other person, no. Nope. Okay, cool. Well, the show's over, guys. Thanks for being here. Really appreciate you tuning in. Okay, so basically this video here that I was going to play for you, one of the, you know, mental note, somebody here, please. Let me see here. Let me just pull it up here real quick. We're going to do something here fun real quick. Somebody here in the chat watching this live needs to do me a solid. And let me look them up real quick. All right. So do me a favor. Somebody go on Instagram and look up my brother, Jack_the_producer, Jack Merkel, and shoot him a DM and tell him that he needs to remember to help me work through the audio issues so that we can actually do what I want to do on these live broadcasts, okay? Because right now, I can't do it and it's driving me nuts. So I will tell you what this is about. This is the future of AI and robotics. And they're talking about within the next year, the next 12 months, there's going to be 12,000 people, I'm assuming worldwide, that have these robots in their homes doing laundry, folding towels. Let me mute this and play so you guys can actually just watch it while I talk about it, I suppose. Just doing everything. Like they can grab, you know, your mail for you, cook food, all that stuff. They charge wirelessly through their feet. They go into a station and they stand on the station and it charges wirelessly. Like, the future is here, okay? The future is here. And they're saying, I think in the next 4 years, it says here, 100,000 people will have these in their homes. Will you? I know most of you are saying, absolutely not. I say, absolutely not. But call me a hypocrite in 5 years if I do it. So, I mean, doesn't it look kind of cool though? The dangers. Yes, the dangers. But wouldn't it be nice to have somebody that's a robot making your food and poisoning you and folding your laundry? And I don't know. They're saying that it's not just like a one-time model thing either. Like, you'll get this robot and they'll be able to be programmed to do what you tell them to do and all the things that they can do. But over time, they're part of an AI network. And over time, your robot will encounter difficulties, maybe just in your house, the way the house is laid out, to its owner's schedule, to what it's being requested to do. And it's going to create solutions for the problems it's encountering. And it will take those solutions and share those into the AI network so that the other robots are being updated with the solution that your robot found so they can implement that into their daily use. So it's going to be a constant learning thing that over time, the robots will take over everything and destroy us all. Literally, we're writing our own obituaries. It's wild. It's wild. Like I said, I'm not getting one. But listen, 10 years ago, I wasn't even a podcaster. So who knows? Like, who knows? I hope not, though. If I get one, like, I need to go to future me and just smack me good. But this got me thinking, and, you know, like, the advancements of AI is wild, right? Here's another video. They have successfully had a tractor trailer. I believe it was driving from either Dallas or San Antonio to Houston, completely driverless. Here's another one for you. This is actually a Peterbilt. This isn't even Tesla or anything like that. This is Peterbilt, which is, if anybody knows, I mean, I'm a former truck driver here. Peterbilt is probably like the number one tractor trailer, the truck company for semi trucks. I mean, Peterbilt, like, who doesn't want a Peterbilt? They have successfully, shout out to Ellie for becoming a new member. They have successfully got this thing driving on its own. And look at it. It's not even ugly. Like, it's not, like, it doesn't have all these, like, big, bulky cameras. Like, when I used to talk about this, I used to say, they're going to have all these cameras on it. It's just going to be everywhere. Like, that is clean looking. And it's run with AI. It has such predictive programming that it predicts erratic behavior before it actually happens. I wish you guys could hear this guy's description of it, because everything he was describing of it was what I did as a human being driving tractor trailer. Like, I would look way in advance. So one nice thing about driving tractor trailer is that you sit higher than everything around you. So a tractor trailer driver, if he's paying attention, will see well in advance of everybody else. So if you're in a pickup truck, you're sitting higher than a car. And you can see a little bit further. Think of that as only with a tractor trailer. I see everything. And if you're paying attention, you can actually predict and understand what's going to happen before it even happens. You can start seeing people acting. You learn people's behaviors. So you notice that, you know, if a car is driving a certain speed and aggressive nature up next to you and you're approaching an off-ramp, there's a high likelihood that that person is trying to get to that exit, and instead of slowing down and getting behind you, they're zooming up to cut in front of you because they view you as a tractor trailer, slow and annoying, and they just want to get in front of you so they don't have to slow down. You learn these kind of things, and you see it coming up, and you're like, okay, and you start laying off because you're not trying to have an accident. So somebody like, I'll show them. You actually just lay off the gas, start coasting, letting them do their thing, get in front of you, cut you off, and there they go on the on-ramp. Like, you learn that, and you start predicting the nature and the human actions. Well, this automatic driving AI driven tractor trailer does that. It learns and is predicting the actions and behaviors well in advance. It's literally acting like a human. Everything he described, I was like, holy cow, that's exactly what I would have done in these situations. And so. The AI thing is not going away. As much as you hate it, if you're on here watching me right now, I promise you, you use AI. I'm sure you understand that. Whether you like it or not, it's already ingrained in every aspect of our lives, and it's not going anywhere. And it's gonna. And you take the transportation industry and everything, and the way it moves and everything, pairing it with AI, and it doesn't stop there. Because it's going to connect with other AI industries, and they're going to come together. You will start seeing the AI robots offloading and unloading and loading the AI tractor trailers. Like, this is 100% going to happen, and probably well before 2030. Like, I promise you. When I used to drive truck, I used to have a podcast called Hammer Lane Legends. It was with my dad. Actually, I think he's recording the last episode of it this Saturday. They're bringing it in for a landing. I used to talk to him about this, and he used to irritate the crap out of him. I knew it would irritate him that I would talk about AI taking over the industry, because he's like, this is my job. Like, AI can't take over. It's taken over. If you're lucky, you'll have a good company like Pitt, Ohio. That's where my dad drives. That company, what I think is going to happen is they're going to do this, but they're only going to do it per retirement, per employee being fired. Maybe they'll look to fire more people for just stupid stuff, but as they lose drivers, they'll probably purchase an AI truck to replace the driver. But it's going to happen. It's going to happen, especially when they have enough data showing how having an AI-driven truck will actually save the company money through accidents. Accidents happen all the time in trucking. LTL companies, they have accidents all the time because their drivers do 20 to 30 stops a day. And they're doing it in cities, erratic behavior around them. I had several accidents as a tractor trailer driver, nothing too major, but I've had several things happen. It's just part of the job. And if you can save money because the data shows that AI drivers are much more safer, and once you pay that truck off, it's just there forever. Like, you don't have to worry about the driver retiring, going on maternity leave, getting cancer and getting sick and being out of work, and you're not sure if they're ever going to come back. All that stuff goes out the window. So it 100% is going to happen. Now, back to the AI robot in your home. Now, we see these things. I promise you, these things are going to be unloading trucks. My question is, do these things have the ability to be possessed? I say yes. Okay. I don't know if that's a secret. Of course, that's what I would think. I might be a little crazy, I know. But if we're talking about cryptids, let's just use Dogman, because I'm pretty sure Dogman is demonic. Like, it's not a good thing. If cryptids, Dogman, say Dogman is an interdimensional being, an NHI, oh my, there's crossover there. But say Dogman is a non-human intelligence. It's an entity that comes from another realm to this realm. And let me bring myself back up here. And it has the ability to transcend realms. Now we're talking. You can talk about demons, just the generic phrase, demons, entities, angels, heavenly angels, fallen angels, but Dogman specifically. Is it possible, if Dogman is a demonic entity from another realm that manifests here, can appear and be physical here, is it possible that it could possess one of these AI robots? And if it could, what does that mean? Right? There are things that make me stay up all night. and this is one of them, okay? I can't tell you how many times I think about interdimensional Dogman right around bedtime. And my brain goes sideways on things, and I start these train of thought. Like, I might be thinking about my chicken dinner from two nights ago, and all of a sudden, somehow that got me on Dogman. But here I am thinking about interdimensional Dogman before I go to sleep. And this idea that Dogman can possess a physical AI robot. It's like we talk about AI being possessed in general. We talk about Dogman. In fact, I have some of you might know Joe Barger. He had a wild Dogman encounter. He's been in here in studio. His episode is going to release probably sometime in January of 26. But part of his story is that when he killed this thing, he was visited by a government agency and they told him that he killed their asset. So was their asset a designed creation in a lab to mimic a supernatural being? Was their asset a robotic, a materialistic machine that they had possessed by a Dogman entity? Could they have created the image of Dogman for Dogman entity to possess a machine to be used as a weapon? Often people talk about seeing Dogman in cemeteries and graveyards. Why is that? Are cemeteries and graveyards the portal gateways that are the veil, where the veil is the thinnest between realms? That makes sense. And if Dogman is an interdimensional being that comes from the underworld, would it use an access point like that? These are all things that go in my head, right? And so, like, I'm sitting here wondering if that's true. Would it have any, would it want to possess an AI robot that human beings have living in their homes with comfort? Like, you're comfortable. If you have an AI robot in your house, you're comfortable with that idea. You find it convenient. It's helpful. You know, mom and dad work, you know, 12 hours a day each. They also have two kids that need breakfast. They need lunch. They need dinner. You have the AI robot do it. You pay $30,000 for the robot and it's there and it takes care of your family. And it's not even in a year salary for a nanny. They're going to make it so easy and convenient for you to have these things, like the personal financing, the discounts, the Black Friday discounts, the low income housing discount. They're going to want everybody to have these in their homes. And you can go down the spy route of they want to spy on you. They want, there's some evil genius man behind a computer somewhere controlling the robots, and all of a sudden they're going to take over. We're literally living iRobot. But what if a large portion of humanity has these AI robots in their homes, and these AI robots are being possessed by vicious, malicious entities like Dogman, and it could sneak into the AI robot and do what it wants, when it wants, and you have no idea until it's too late because you've let it in your home and you felt safe with it. Welcome to the darkness, friends. I hope you find it enlightening. Shout out to Clyde Lewis. That's part of his show intro. Wild stuff. Wild stuff. So I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud. I haven't done this in a while. I'm a bit rusty. Hopefully you guys, maybe something's clicking with you. Maybe it's not. I don't know. But I was going to play a video that I found real interesting, but I can't because you guys can't hear it. And this one you do need to hear. But I'll just tell you real quick. Okay? Tell you real quick. Years ago, when I started the show, I was not sure if we landed on the moon. I erred on the idea that we probably landed on the moon. And then as the show went on, I started thinking, I don't think we landed on the moon in 1969. I think it was 69, right? It was 1969? Or was it 63? I don't remember. Either way, I was like, I don't think we landed when they said we landed, but I think we landed on the moon on a future mission. Like, I don't think we did it then, but at some point, I think we did. And then they made me start stepping back when they were saying how, like, we don't have the technology to do it. I'm like, how does that work? How do we lose a technology? Okay, maybe. I heard some really convincing arguments to the idea that we could have lost the technology. And I was like, okay, maybe. It's going to make me feel good at night to feel and believe that we went to the moon. I will believe it. We went to the moon later. We didn't do it at first when they said they did it, but we had to say we did it. But we went to the moon now. We lost the technology, and that's why we have not been back. And then there's this video going around the internet with actual NASA astronauts literally saying that this is the first time, their mission, referring to their mission, that this is the first time that man is going to the moon. And I'm like, did everybody just hear that? Am I living in a parallel universe right now? Like, first time? Y'all, my whole life have been telling me we went to the moon. And now you're saying the first time. And I'm like, are they gaslighting me? They're doing something to my brain right now and it hurts. I'm like, yo, dude, you know what they're doing? I looked. I tried finding out if this was an AI video. I didn't see anything that says it was an AI video. So as far as I understand, this video was legit. And if Joel sees this and he wants to make this video, please splice the video in so that people see it. Like, the only thing I can think is that technology is getting so advanced and there are certain lies of old that they can't juggle him. They literally find it impossible to juggle. There's no other way they can juggle it now. They've juggled with their elbows. They've juggled with their feet. They've done the chicken dance. They can't do anything else other than just to say, we never said we went to the moon. We're going to the moon now, though. You know? Welcome to 2025, everybody, where man finally gets to the moon for the first time. It's going to be great. We're advancing in technology. We have AI. We have all this great stuff. I mean, you know, like, come on, guys. You're killing me. Oh, my Lord. I just don't get it, guys. I just don't get it. It's like NASA is trying to make me a flat earther, man. Never say never anymore. Golly, space is fake. The moon landing never happened. Oh, Lordy, Lordy. I don't know what to go. I don't know where to go with this. I mean, it's just our lives are a big facade. It's all fake. It's all fake. I mean, yeah, I'm speechless. Like, I'm just speechless. Like, the more I think about it, like, I think this is the first time I've actually talked about it out loud. I'm just speechless. How did we get here? come, Lord Jesus, come quick. I don't want any more of my paradigm shattered. I want to believe we went to the moon. Jesus is going to come back. And he's like, I'm back. And Tony, we got to talk. It's time for you to learn. It's like sitting down with your dad when you're, you know, a kid. And he's like, son, we need to have a conversation. Oh, what, dad? Well, you know what bees are, son? That's what it's going to be like. You know, Jesus is going to come back. And he's just like, Tony, come on over here. Sit in my lap. I'm like, yeah, what's up, man? What's up? What's up? All right. Space. Oh. Don't say it so. Don't say it so. Please. Oh, man. It is what it is. It is what it is. Let me show you guys something here. And then we'll wrap this up. So I found this pretty interesting. Things that could exist by 2050. You know, some of this stuff on here is like, no, duh, right? And then some of it got me thinking. So here's one. Human-level AI. Experts predict AI systems will match human reasoning and creativity within 25 years, changing every job, classroom, and city. No, duh. Give me like a no, duh in the comments section. Like, homie, we're already there. Like, we're already there. People are losing jobs at Amazon. He just laid off 30,000 people because he's replacing them with AI robots with plans for, what, another 500,000 people to be laid off at Amazon? Like, the Amazon, the hero company for the last 20 years, is now eradicating human labor. No, duh. Tractor trailers driving themselves. No, duh. Classrooms. No, duh. Like, AI itself is a college grade course. Like, you can learn any, you don't need to go to college. No, duh. 15-minute smart cities. No, duh. Next one here. Fusion power. Skip. No, duh. Asteroid mining. This is interesting because for the people who say space is fake, they're saying this is all part of the delusion and the agenda, but I find it interesting. Private companies plan to harvest metals from asteroids worth trillions. One rock could hold more platinum than Earth has ever mined. That's pretty interesting. I find it interesting. Is it going to happen in the next 25 years? I think, why not? Like, a lot of this stuff is like a why not to me, because with the advancements of AI, we see what we were able to do already. AI is getting smarter by the day. The smarter and more capable AI becomes, the more humans will be able to technically do if our overlord AIs allow us. No, duh. Space elevator. Next. This is like a Tom Cruise movie, man. I don't even want to contemplate this, like space elevator. Quantum internet. I found this interesting. Future networks may use entangled particles to send unhackable data at near instant speeds anywhere on Earth. Bull. I call baloney on that. I don't believe for a second our overlords, whether it's human overlords or AI robotic overlords, will ever allow us to have access to anything that it's purely, truly unhackable. Nah, I don't believe that for a second. They'll sell us the illusion that the moon's real and that we've gone to the moon and that the space station is in the outer orbit. I'm questioning everything right now. But they're not going to allow us to have unhackable data. That's not happening. Not in a trillion years. Brain computer interfaces. No, duh. Right? Like, Neuralink is a real thing. This is absolutely going to happen in the next 5 years. Like, 100%. Neural chips could let people type, draw, or even talk using only their thoughts. Early prototypes already exist in labs. Neuralink, they're using the monkeys and all that stuff. My wife's texting me. Ooh, it means she remembers me and she loves me. Oh, good girl. This one is what I found the most interesting. Underwater cities. Architects are designing floating and submerged habitats powered by ocean currents and algae-based energy systems. Guys, this has the UAP, USO, Underwater Submerged Object, USO, USO phenomenon written all over it. We got my local rep, Tim Burchett, talking about how these UFOs are coming up out of the water and that there's bases under the water. This here, one, is a no duh, but two, is absolutely going to happen. They are conditioning you through disclosure and the things that they're talking about for you to accept such things as this. In fact, when this happens, promise you this, this was not designed by some genius in a lab. It was designed by fallen angel technology that already existed down there, and we're just cohabitating with them. Is that the right terminology? Cohabitating, coexisting with them. 100% no duh. Personalized medicine, no duh. They're talking about how you can have a personalized, well, let me just see here. AI and gene editing will tailor treatments to your DNA. Drugs could be designed specifically for one single patient, or they're going to come out with technology abilities publicly that allow you to change your DNA to fit the medicine that they have to fix you, therefore altering your DNA. So instead of altering medicine for your DNA, they're going to alter your DNA for medicine. Tell me I'm crazy. I already know. Colonies on Mars. No, duh. Come on. Let me pause for half. I don't know how many. Well, I don't know what the percentage is, to be honest with you. But for the people who say space is fake, Earth's flat, all that stuff, this is a impossibility, I suppose. I don't know. I really don't know the, but nevertheless, if this is a possibility, I think, I mean, we know Elon says he's gunning towards it. I mean, that's why he has the mining company so he can mine and bore holes into Mars. That's why he has Neuralink. That's why he has all the stuff he does, the X and all that, because he wants to go to Mars. He's crazy, guys. He's crazy. And he's leading all humanity down this crazy scale train. And we're just following this crazy guy who, L, you know? Does it make sense? L. I'm drawing a blank on his name. Elon. L. God. L. Elohim. It's not an accident. That didn't land. Okay. I think we're going to wrap things up here, friends. It's been fun hanging out with you. You know, it's been a bit that since we've done this, and I just, I appreciate every single one of you. And, we've been riding together most of us have been riding together for a while. There's been a lot of new subscribers, but, this is a fun time. I should do it more often. You know, you guys are good. And, as long as my life allows it on a weekly basis, I'll do it on a weekly basis. If not, I'll do it as much as possible. Here we are today. Happy Thursday, everybody. If you're members and you haven't listened to today's episode, go check it out. It is a banger. I promise you, you're going to enjoy it. And if you're not a member, next Tuesday's show is another banger. You're going to enjoy it. So just keep being you guys. I'll keep being me. Let the haters hate, let the lovers love, and everybody fall in between, somewhere between there and there. I don't even know what I'm talking about, so I'm just going to get out of here. I'll see yous.
Oh, boy. Is that a slingshot?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Slingshot season. Hey. Let's run it. Grace hit me like, boom, can't miss. No, God with me, whole squad gon' win. Devil try to throw shade, I grin, cause the light too bright where I've been. Yeah. Walk in the spotlight, who's that? Stone in the sling and a true slap. Devil in the way we move that. Tryna aim for the head like a do-rag. I'm stuck in the valley that view bad. Now I'm up in the hills with a food at. God took all my L's, ran through that. Now the wind stack high like a new stack. Every step with the light, that's a blueprint. Whole pack getting bright cause he doing it. King's kids, so the crown got a new fit. And the cross hit harder than a news clip. We ain't here just to buy this movement. Every giant in the way, he'll move it. If the world wanna hate, we cool with it. Cause the love hit strong and the truth spit. Grace hit me like, boom, can't miss. God with me, whole squad gon' win. Devil try to throw shade, I grin. Cause the light too bright where I've been. Down in the dirt, now I'm cleaned up. Blood bought brand new, never dreamed up. They was throwing all the stones, trying to team up. Got 50 now, standing hit, feeling beamed up. I remember them nights in the struggle, feeling way down deep by the trouble. But he showed up strong, broke the muzzle. Now the faith built big like a double. We ain't here for the fame of the flesh. We just point to the king, let him splash. Living water in the cup, no cap in the well, don't run dry, that's facts. Now we running on a path with a show step. Every loss is a setup for the best yet. Every giant in my face is a test bet. Got swing once, it's a head shake.
grace hit me like, can't miss. God with me, whole squad gon' win. Devil try to throw shade, I grin, cause the light too bright where I've been. Grace hit me like, can't miss. God with me, whole squad gon' win. Devil try to throw shade, I grin, cause the light too bright where I've been. Grace hit me like, can't miss. God with me, whole squad gon' win. Devil try to throw shade, I grin, cause the light too bright where I've been. Hey, Slingshot Nation, we don't back up, we don't break down. Just line it up, pull back, let it go. Yeah, run it up.
She's been thinking about this sleepover all week, but I think about her food allergies all the time. Fortunately, her doctor prescribed Xolair, omalizumab. It's proven to significantly reduce allergic reactions if a food allergy accident happens.
Xolair 150 milligrams is a prescription medication used to treat food allergy in people 1 year of age and older to reduce allergic reactions due to accidental exposure to one or more foods. While taking Xolair, you should continue to avoid all foods to which you are allergic. Don't use if you are allergic to Xolair. Xolair may cause a severe, life-threatening allergic reaction called anaphylaxis. Tell your doctor if you ever had anaphylaxis. Get help right away if you have trouble breathing or if you have swelling of your throat or tongue. Xolair should not be used for the emergency treatment of allergic reactions, including anaphylaxis. Xolair is for maintenance use to reduce allergic reactions, including anaphylaxis, while avoiding food allergens. Serious side effects such as cancer, fever, muscle aches and rash, parasitic infection, or heart and circulation problems have been reported. Please see Xolair.com for full prescribing information. Ask an allergist about Xolair. This is an advertisement for Xolair paid for by Genentech and Novartis.
Here's something good on women's health and longevity, a new podcast on iHeart. Join us for groundbreaking conversations with renowned medical experts. They'll share the latest breakthroughs, the good news about women's health, and the simple steps women can take to help them live healthier and happier every day. Be sure to listen to our episode, Perimenopause and Menopause, From Taboo to Transformation, where we tackle a topic nearly every woman will face, but is often misunderstood. We discuss what's happening during perimenopause and menopause and share practical ways to ease common symptoms. We also explore how to reframe this stage as a natural reset, turning it into a time to thrive. Brought to you by Always Discreet, offering products that can support you in your daily life and providing the comfort and protection you need to feel secure. Found at Walgreens, the women's well-being destination, supporting every stage. Listen to Hear Something Good on Women's Health and Longevity on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite shows.
Hey, it's Erin Andrews from Calm Down with Erin and Carissa. So there's a chill in the air, football on TV, and that means it's holiday season. I know my home needs a little refresh before the holidays, and Wayfair has exactly what I'm looking for. Wayfair is the place to shop for all things home. Everything from sofas to spatulas, you name it, they have it. And you can get up to 70% off during Wayfair's Black Friday sale. Starting October 30th, you can shop Wayfair's can't-miss Black Friday deals all month long. Wayfair makes the shopping easy, which I need during this busy time of year. So we needed some ornaments, and Wayfair had that covered. We got a cute hockey-looking one. We got a Florida Gators one, one that resembled Howie, and a little coffee mug that played on being a Taylor Swift fan. We also just got Mac this cute advent calendar, and we can't wait to share it with him throughout the holiday season. He's gonna love it. Don't miss out on early Black Friday deals. Head to Wayfair.com now to shop Wayfair's Black Friday deals for up to 70% off. That's Wayfair, Wayfair.com. Sale ends December 7th.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
What does Zyn offer you? Not just hands-free nicotine satisfaction, the freedom to do things your way. When is the right time for Zyn? Anytime you need smoke-free, device-free time for you. Why bring Zyn into your life? Because America's number one nicotine pouch opens up the endless possibilities of right now. Find your Zyn. Learn more at Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Exciting things are happening at your local CVS. The holidays are here, and CVS has everything you need to make them bright. From festive decor and personalized photo gifts to candy, toys, and beauty favorites, you'll find joyful surprises for everyone on your list, all in one easy stop. And don't forget to use your extra care card to unlock savings every time you shop. Visit your local CVS store or cvs.com/holiday to see this week's deals.